you know, very few things that are original, and there's certainly always things that inspire you. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, I'm not even sure about where the fetus idea kind of came from, but you know, it could have come from a lot of places. You can pick up a newspaper report, you can hear conversations in a bar. I mean, thinking about that one, I mean, it's like the Sex Pistols' first album had a song called Bodies on it about a girl who had carried an abortion around. So, I mean, there's all these ideas are out there in the ether. It's just how you kind of access them and use them and kind of adapt them and develop them, put them through your own lens. I mean, they say there's a lot of, you know, they say there's not a lot of original ideas left, but, you know, there's just a very kind of, hopefully a clever and convincing and compelling reworking of old ideas.
You think of the 70s, like, you know, there was punk in the 80s, there was, you know, Manchester and New Wave, and in the 90s we had, you know, obviously the electronic scene. Where are we now? What do you think?
I think it's difficult now because of the internet age. It's very difficult for anything to stay in the underground. And I think any culture, particularly youth culture, needs to stay in the underground to get traction. And it's very difficult now because it's right out there in the market, the global marketplace, as soon as it's done, really. So I think that's the big kind of problem. So there probably is no real sort of culture around sort of music and sort of youth and all that now. I think probably the 80s kind of acid house and casuals and all that was the last British indigenous kind of culture to come out of the UK. And I think that Britpop in the 90s, I think, was more of a kind of clearinghouse, basically setting out the whole thing up for kind of globalisation, you know, and selling the culture out into the sort of the next kind of millennium. So I don't really see, I mean, there's kind of interesting things that are happening, but it's very difficult to envisage a whole movement like kind of mods or skinheads or teds or football casuals or hippies and all that kind of sort of taking place again.
Do you think that's a loss for youth culture?
Yeah, I think, youth culture now is just like any other culture. It's just consumerist culture, basically. You know, people come out with something, but they come out with it really as individuals or artists, and then it goes out on online and either kind of hits the base, the commercial base, or it doesn't, you know. But it's very hard to be part of a movement now. And I think that's a shame, because I think it's another thing, you know, as well, along with employment prospects and education, and there's just another one thing that's been taken away from the kids now. You know, it's such a shit life being young now. I think it's one of these. I mean, it's like, it's horrible when you get middle-aged people like me, kind of pitying young people. You know, you think, what right have they got to do that? But I'm so glad I was young in the time that I was young. I wouldn't like to be young in this time if I had the choice.
Why not?
I just think that the kind of life just seems to be a wee bit more kind of empty, and the opportunities for people to do different things seems to be getting narrower and narrower, unless they're from a really sort of wealthy, privileged elite. And it just seems to, there just doesn't seem to be that much kind of interest in the culture.
You've got a film out also.
We've got Filth out, yeah, with which is doing it. It's just had an incredible run in the UK. I mean, we've kind of were the second biggest 18 certificate of the year behind Django Unchained, and we're kind of in the top 10 now of the biggest 18 certificate UK films ever. So, and it's all, I mean, a lot of it's two people, really. It's James McAvoy for his amazing performance.
He's and so cool.
He's just incredible in this movie. It's the performance of his life, basically. And John Baird, who directed and produced and adapted it for screen and just put the whole thing together. So it's just been a real kind of pleasure and privilege working with these two guys. Like, they're just incredibly talented.
You get quoted very often as one of the movers and shakers within British popular culture, obviously because of Trainspotting. Because I think when I was 21, 22 when Trainspotting came out, and although I wasn't on drugs, but that film so connected, and I think a lot of people felt exactly the same.
No, I don't think you don't have any real expectation for anything you do, you know, whether it's a book or a screenplay or, you know, whatever. You just want to get finished and do the best you can. and get out there. You know, you don't really have any sort of, I mean, I certainly don't. I mean, I know there are people who kind of, and I quite admire them, that can actually write to a market. They know this is what is out, what's needed and all that. I don't have that kind of sort of consciousness of it all. I just really try and get something that I think makes sense to me in terms of sort of character and storyline, and get that down. And if it resonates, I mean, it's great. You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes it really does hit the commercial base and I do really well. Other times, kind of not so good. Like, you know, you get a horde of kind of nutty loyalists that love it, but you know, the populace remain kind of untouched by it. You know, so you never really know. You know, and you can't really know. I don't think, or you know, when you do what the kind of stuff that I do. I mean, I feel that I've written some of my best books. I kind of feel that you know, they've not really got the massive attention that well, I don't really feel they've got, probably, as you know, I've probably, some people would argue I've had more than I deserve, you know, and probably have in terms of the whole thing. But I've had other books that have kind of done really well, and they've, you know, they've kind of sold millions all right across the world and all that, and I've thought to myself, well, maybe that wasn't the best one I've done, you know, wasn't that good. So you just never know, you know.
Skag Boy is ever going to be a film too?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we're kind of at the stage now where it's like people are talking about porno, so I don't know what will happen with Skag Boys. I mean, it's, I see it as being more of a kind of TV series. I'd like to do a kind of, a short TV, TV shows on Skag Boys, like, yeah.
Porno, is that, that's going to be on film soon, isn't it?
Well, again, you know, it's like, we're talking about it, there's, you know, the usual kind of, the business, you know, the part is we're tying up the business part of that, hopefully, and then we're going to move on to looking at the screenplay, you know, which is a rough draft, and basically, if it fires, you know, it's got to work creatively to get the director excited, to get the actors excited, you know. So if they get excited by what can be produced on page and how it, you know, and it can read, then I think you know, it'll probably go ahead. But it's tough because you've got to. You've got to do something that's as good as the original, otherwise there's no point in doing it, really. Absolutely. You've got to know that it's going to be good too.
So true. Do you still live in Scotland, actually, or do you live in London these days?
I live in America. I've lived in the States for 4 years now, in Chicago.
Wow, what took you there?
I just like personal sort of family stuff, really. I just have ended up there. I didn't set out to end up there, but that's kind of, I don't know about end up, how long I'll stay, but I think that's where I am just now. I've still got a place in Edinburgh, so I get back quite a lot. Yeah, it's kind of been 4 years there. Before that was 6 years in Dublin in the Republic of Ireland. And, you know, so I've been out of Scotland and the UK for 10 years now.
What did you like best so far, Scotland, Ireland or America?
Well, I mean, I spent a lot of time in London, so you'd have to put England into that as well.
Yeah, true.
You know? So you've kind of, yeah, I mean, they've all got their different attractions. I mean, it's like, obviously being Scottish, you know, I'd have to say Scotland because you just, you know, you've got a love for where you come from. But I mean, I mean, Scotland's just such a kind of wonderful, fascinating, kind of weird and beautiful place, really. But, I mean, you know, in their own ways, you know, England and America and Ireland and Holland are as well, you know. So they've all got little kind of slices of magic about them, and kind of, and they've, you know, they've all got their inherent frustrations as well, you know, like Scotland has. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's what you make it, basically, you know.
What do you think of Scottish independence, yes or no?
Well, I think it's probably inevitable. I don't know if it's going to happen next year. But I think it will happen. I just think it's to do with the disaffection of kind of 30 years of neoliberalism, really, rather than any desire to kind of sort of any big kind of sort of nationalistic desire. Because I don't really feel that the people that are pro-independence in Scotland, I don't really feel that they are nationalistic. I think they just really want to sort of to be allowed to sort of kind of, you know, determine, you know, elect kind of governments that are going to sort of act in their interests. And I think in a way it's in some ways it's the kind of same story in England. I think people want they want, you know, there's a kind of a growth in the sort of English national consciousness, which is kind of in some ways quite, in some ways, you know, you get all the UKIP and BNP and all the kind of, you know, English Defence League kind of right wing kind of racist stuff, but there's a lot of positive stuff in it as well. I think there is a kind of an idea of building a kind of sort of a proper kind of sort of multi-ethnic, multicultural England, and I think that a lot of people in England are feeling now that why should we be distracted with the issues of Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland, which are kind of different from us, you know? So I think there's a, they're very much kind of seeing them, you know, seeing things as a, as very English conscious rather than sort of as UK or British conscious in general. I think economically, I mean, it's, I think it would do very well. It just pays out much more in tax in Scotland than it gets in. You know, there's a big deficit there. It's it pays out much more in kind of terms of subsidies. And it would also, you've got the subsidy, you know, you've got London in the southeast is heavily subsidised by the fact that Britain's a unitary state and everything is there, sort of government and all that. And then you get a premium from that in sort of property prices and sort of investment and all that. So Scotland would probably, if it had that kind of kick on, it would probably attract a lot more investment as well as being more self-sufficient. It's got a small population with lots of resources. So, I mean, I think it would do really well economically.
Thank you so much.